The message this week is on prayer, and it's part of the series on sowing and reaping. Prayer is a way of sowing into people's lives by communing with God on their behalf. And we too reap a benefit. As we get closer to God, He gets closer to us. So it's obviously a good way to start by just saying a prayer. And this is taken from Thomas A. Kempis from hundreds of years ago, been adapted slightly. Father God, God of mercy and grace, all powerful and wonderful, grant us, O Lord, a mind to know you, a heart to seek you, wisdom to find you, conduct that is pleasing to you, a faithful perseverance in waiting in for you, and a hope of finally embracing you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. So, confession time to start off with. Confession is a good part of prayer. I'm not an expert in prayer by any means. I'm on a journey with this. And yes, I've prayed for a long time, but at the beginning of the year, I read a book called Praying Like Monks, Living Like Fools, and by Tyler Statton. And that sparked off an invigorated prayer life for me. This message is about encouraging you in your prayer life. If at the end of it you feel guilty and you think, oh, I should pray more, I should do this and I don't, then I failed miserably. If you go away feeling hungry for more of a prayer life, if this has kind of piqued your appetite, then the Holy Spirit is working in you to make a change. And that's my prayer for you this morning. If you want a deeper, fuller prayer life, then come on this journey with me and see where it goes. If you only remember one thing from this message, just one, and some people just remember one, and that's okay, it's that God wants a relationship with you. He wants it so much that Jesus died for you on the cross. And prayer is that communion with God to get that rich, full life that He's given us, that He's promised us. For a number of people here who've been on this journey for a long time as a Christian, they will think, well, he didn't say this, or he didn't mention this and all that about prayer. And you're right, I won't. Just because prayer is such a big field, I'm only going to focus on a few things. And so I have to miss some things out, otherwise you're going to be here for hours at a time. I know you'd love that, but I'm not going to submit you to that. So let me also make one thing clear. Prayer is not about being saved. We don't pray for that salvation. If we know that Jesus is our Lord and our Saviour, we've given our lives to Him, then we're saved. We sang about being with Him in eternity. That's where we'll be. So that is done and dusted. Prayer is not about that. Prayer is about having that relationship, having that fulfilling relationship with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And as we do that, we make a difference to this world. If you're a disciple of Jesus, you want relationship, and prayer is the communication of that relationship. A relationship without communication is not a relationship. So we need that prayer. Jesus prayed for you and me, all believers. Just before he went to the cross, he was praying for all his disciples. And then he seems to switch gear and pray for all of us. All of us who are believers, he prays. And this is his prayer from John 17. If you haven't recently read all of John 17, I'd encourage you to do it because it's startling. It's amazing. My prayer is not for them alone. I pray also for those who will believe in me through their message. That's us. That all of them may be one, Father, just as you are in me and I am in you. May they also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. I've given them the glory that you gave me, that they may be one as we are one. I in them and you in me, so that they may be brought to complete unity. Then the world will know that you sent me and have loved me, even as you will love them, even as you have loved me. I want those you have given me to be with me where I am, and to see my glory, the glory you have given me because you loved me before the creation of the world. How startling is that? Jesus is praying for every single one of us, that we would be in him as he is in the Father and he in us, and have that unity. I find that incredible. So this is the journey that I want to take you on this morning. It may seem a bit startling. 5 points, my goodness, we don't normally have 5 points. But let me assure you that I don't spend a lot of time on each point. So that's the overview of it all. So let's start off with, why pray? Why do we pray? Well, before I answer that, I must answer, well, what is prayer? I think I've said it, but let me just clarify. It's communing with God. It's talking to him, sometimes without words, but it's also listening. And that's something that I want to get better at. I'm not so good at listening to the voice of God. I want to be so much better at that, as well as talking to him. Why pray? Jump ahead a bit. A simple answer to that is Jesus did. Jesus, perfect, sinless, Son of God, he needed to have regular communication with his Father. Then, if we follow him, won't we want to do the same thing? Some examples of Jesus praying. Luke 3. Jesus was praying when he got baptized. The Holy Spirit descended on him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven. You are my Son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased. In Mark 1, Jesus got up very early in the morning, whilst it was still dark, went to a solitary place and prayed. And Jesus prayed before all major events in his life. Before appointing the disciples, he spent the whole night in prayer. If you have a look at Luke 6, that will show you. Another reason for us praying is that God listens to our prayers. He acts and moves on what we pray. How amazing is that? Don't we want more of that for us, for our friends, for our family? Okay, point one done. Point two. See, that wasn't that bad, was it? When to pray? Well, David says in Psalm 55, evening, morning, and noon, I cry out in distress, and he hears my voice. Evening, morning, and noon, and he hears my voice. So David thinks 3 times a day is pretty good. I think 3 times a day is pretty good. We eat breakfast, most of us, lunch, dinner. We say grace. But isn't it good to pray those same times as well? I pray in the morning. My wife and I pray in the evening. Sorry, another confession. I sometimes, just occasionally, fall asleep when she's praying. Even worse, though, I sometimes fall asleep when I'm praying. Oh, well. At noon, I don't often pray. Apart from saying grace, I'm not into the habit, the pattern of praying regularly around noontime. And I want to get better at that. So I'm on this journey, even if it's only for a few moments, just to stop and pray. But you know what? Who doesn't eat between meals? Hands up. Who doesn't eat between meals? One, two, maybe. I eat between meals. Wouldn't it be good to pray in between meals as well? I think so. So why don't we pray in between meals too? Now, I've got a short quiz for you. Wayne, you're not allowed to answer because he was here last night. Okay, the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. Yep, John 11:35. And? Sorry? Yes, thank you. And there's another one. There's another verse. Well done. Excellent. I need you on my next quiz night, okay? It's 1 Thessalonians 5:17. It says, pray continually. Now, that's not hard, is it? Pray. Other translations say, pray without ceasing. Pray all the time. I mean, that's a pretty low bar. We can all do that, can't we? Well, hold on to that thought, because it may not be quite as impossible as it seems. Point three, barriers to prayer. Why don't we pray more? Well, we have distractions. Somebody said we forget. We have distractions too, which make us forget. C.S. Lewis says it beautifully, as he often does. The moment you wake up each morning, all your wishes and hopes for the day rush at you like wild animals. And the first job each morning consists in shoving it all back, in listening to that other voice, taking that other point of view, letting that other larger, stronger, quieter life come flowing in. And I find that first thing what I want to pray is all these thoughts come bombarding me. And unlike C.S. Lewis, I don't try and shove them back, because if I find them, I'm going to fight with them, they're going to fight back at me. So I give them a bit of airtime, just let them come gently, and then I just push them away and then focus on prayer. And if they come back, I keep doing that until prayer is the thing that I want, that I'm doing. Sometimes people say to me, well, how do you pray? And a very simple answer is, it's like I'm talking to my best friend. My best friend who knows everything about me, who knows all my warts, all better than I know myself, and still loves me. I want to come before him and pray and speak. That's how I pray. Sometimes we say, well, I don't have time to pray. Do you know love is sometimes spelt T-I-M-E because we give time to the people we love. We give time to the things we love. And if we love Jesus, I don't want to make you feel guilty, but don't we want to give time to him in prayer? Now, I'm not saying, okay, this is another burden. This is something you have to put on yourself and you have to do. What I'm saying is, what can you get rid of? What are the things that you're doing which are not really that productive and give you a little bit more time to pray? Just a thought. The last thing in barriers to prayer, that, and it's not a comprehensive list, is being passive in prayer. We've already heard, we've already sung about, Pauline's already said about being filled with Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We are. As believers, we are. So we're fully equipped by God. We are a temple of his Holy Spirit. What happens if we don't go there? What happens if we don't actually use that equipping? What happens if we don't communicate? It's just left. Nothing happens. So while we're fully equipped, we need to actually do something. Prayer is active. Prayer is a verb. It's a doing word. We have to do it to actually make a difference. We can't just think, oh yeah, I can do that, and leave it. One word of caution though, just one warning, prayer is dangerous. You have to be careful what you pray for. Sometimes when I pray for our neighbors and I say, God, would you help them? Would you? And God very gently says, well, what are you doing for them? How are you helping them? How are you reaching out to them? Sometimes God, not always, but sometimes God wants us to be the answer to those prayers. He wants us to be the hands and the feet that actually go and do things, to give, to serve. We are the answer to some of the prayers. Martin Luther said, "Pray as if everything depends on God, then work as if everything depends on you." Prayer and work, they do go together. They're not separate. And I can't let a message go without showing you a photo of our grandies. Our three grandies, our three beautiful grandies, they're very active and they're such a blessing to us. They're exhausting too. We love them dearly. However, sometimes they just occasionally, they're sometimes just happy just to hang out with us and not really do very much. I think we love that best of all. Just hanging out with them, spending time. I think God's like that. God loves just hanging out with you, spending time with you. Not necessarily with your shopping list of things, which we will do sometimes, but he just wants to spend time with you, just to hang out. Do prayers work? Point four. You still with me? Good. Do prayers work? Well, the simple answer is yes, they do. There's that still small voice that comes and speaks to us and assures us that God is there and he's listening. Now, some people tell me that God talks all the time and it's just a question of us tuning in correctly to get that voice of God. I don't find that. It may be for some people. I don't find that. I find that God talks to me sometimes and I have to listen when he's talking to me. And it's a very still, small voice. I get other voices in my head. I don't know about you. Maybe it's just me that gets that. And I need to test whether it's really God speaking to me. And I can do that through his word, which Jesus speaks through that. And the prophets and the apostles, they speak through that. Is that voice of God? We can see. We can be clear about if that's God's voice or not. Jesus is the perfect representation of God's voice. We can be sure of that. D.L. Moody was an American evangelist in the 19th century, and some people say he was the most powerful leading evangelist of that 100 years. His entire evangelistic strategy was based on prayer. That's what he majored in. One example of how that prayer worked for him was he carried a list of 100 people in his pocket, people who didn't know Jesus, who had no relationship, and every single day of his adult life, he prayed fervently for each of those 100 people. He pleaded with God to reveal himself to them and that they could perceive it in a real way, God's eternal love. When he died at about age 62, 96 out of those 100 people had given their lives to Jesus. I'd take 96% any day. I'd say, thank you, I'm done. That's a distinction, easy. But that wasn't the end. At his funeral, the other four people who he'd prayed for came to the funeral. You know what I'm going to say, don't you? They were so moved by the funeral, they gave their lives to Jesus, 100%. I want that for my life. So I've started a prayer list. Admittedly, it's only the 15th of January this year, and it doesn't have 100 people on, but it is what God's laid on my heart, and I pray for those people every day. Every day I've set aside, pray for them. And I've seen breakthrough already. I've seen God move in a way that it's hard to believe. And Jeannie and I say, wow, that's amazing. Can I say that because I'm praying that happened? No, not really. I can't really say but I'm going to keep praying, and I'm going to keep seeing breakthroughs by God's grace. One caveat to this. God is still sovereign. He still has all power, all glory, all might. And while we present our requests to him, he can sometimes not answer them because he's God and we're not. E. Stanley Jones says this, which I think summarizes it. Prayer is surrender. Surrender to the will of God and cooperation with that will. If I throw out a boat hook, I'm in a boat, throw out a boat hook, and I pull on the chain, and I get pulled to shore, am I pulling the shore to me, or am I pulling my boat to the shore? Prayer is not pulling God to my will, but aligning my will to the will of God. If our prayers originate from God, God lays it on our hearts to pray for others, he will answer those prayers in his time. Just going back to our grandchildren for a brief while, they come and they ask us to do things. Mostly it's playing with them and doing things. They're very active kids. And mostly we say yes because we love them. But sometimes we say no because what they're asking for is not going to be good for them in the long run, particularly if we feed them up with lots of lollies and send them home to their parents. It's not going to go down well for us later on, but for the parents initially. So we say no sometimes. And if you can't relate to grandchildren just yet, well, let me tell you about our cat called Bengal. Bengal is a very cute cat, but he's a bit too smart. He gets fed 3 times a day, but in between, he sometimes will come to us and just look, and he sees that we're following him. He leads us to his dinner plate on the floor and go, meow. He wants more food. And just the fact that he asks, he usually gets it. You just give him a little bit more. Not always. Sometimes we say, no, Bengal, you've got to wait for dinner. But sometimes we give him a bit more just because he asks. And we have that privilege to go before God and ask of him. He gives us that. And that's a beautiful thing. There are 2 situations that I can think of. One is that we get a very clear answer, and I'll come to that in a minute, but sometimes God appears just to be silent. We're not getting an answer. That could be for a number of reasons, and I just want to cover those quickly. Jesus prayed in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, in all 3 of the Gospels, not John's synoptic one, Jesus prayed, my Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. At that desperate situation, he was still praying for Father God's will. Sometimes it's sin that stopping our prayers getting answered. Deliberate sin in our life can put a barrier up between us and God. And one simple one, which is, I guess, prevalent, is unforgiveness. If we're praying for a relationship to be healed, yet we're not willing to forgive the person in the meantime, that's not going to work. Miroslav Volf says, there is something deeply hypocritical about praying for a problem that you're unwilling to resolve. Sometimes God gives us the ability to resolve something, yet we'll still go to him and say, Lord, would you do something there? I like the book of James. I love his work because he's blunt, and I'm blunt too. He just says it, and that's so good. So he says in James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask. You do not ask God, and when you do ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives. That's pretty clear, isn't it? So let me give you an example of a time when I went to God and I didn't get an answer. This is going back decades. I was a baby Christian. I'd just come to faith. And I was asking God whether or not I should get into this relationship. And I was so serious about it that I decided that I would pray every single day for a whole week. I went to God and said, Lord, should I do this or not? You know what I heard? Nothing. Nothing at all. So I'm thinking, I know what I can do. I can do something different here. I can actually pray, God, if you don't want me to this relationship, will you then tell me? You know what I heard? Nothing. Nothing at all. So I thought, okay, that's all right. Tick. Oh, it's fine. I can only tell you that that started for me 3.5 years of pure misery. 3.5 years of going through the valley of the shadow of death. It was terrible. That was closest I've ever been to being in hell, to be honest. And I don't say that lightly. It was only through the grace of God that I actually got through that. So let me come to a conclusion and tie some things up together and just throw in a couple of things that I want to say that didn't fit anywhere else. Praying together is really good, as it's been mentioned already by Rob, I think, that we have prayer groups here twice a week, 5 p.m. on Wednesday, 7:30 on Friday, only lasts for an hour, and we are seeing that becoming more sacred space, more holy, more of God's presence. We're seeing breakthrough. We're seeing our prayers getting answered in amazing ways. And I just invite you, you don't have to commit to coming every week or twice a week or anything like that. Just come along. Just come along. We'd love to have you there. It's a special place. Praying together is great. Prayer meetings are great. I thought there was one before that, but prayer is that, this is the Westminster Shorter Catechism. You don't often get that in a Baptist church, do you? But this is really good. It seems to summarize all that I've been saying. Prayer is an offering up of our desires unto God for things agreeable to his will in the name of Christ with confession of our sins and thankful acknowledgement of his mercies. Westminster Short Catechism. Oh, there it is. And then, remember I said about praying continuously, and that was not such an easy thing to do. Well, Henry Nouwen, probably massacring his name, says, by converting our unceasing thinking into unceasing prayer, moves us from a self-centered monologue to a God-centered dialogue. This requires that we turn all our thoughts into conversation. The main question, therefore, is not so much what we think, but to whom we present our thoughts. I love that, because now I have the ability to say, God, this is what I'm thinking. I'm open to your input into that. Let me just finish off with a story, a true story. And this story started off on the 15th of September, 1995. So that's 28 years ago this year. And I went on a sort of date. It was sort of a date. It was not really thinking that this is anything much, just going out with a friend who we happened to be talking on the phone a bit and thought, oh, we'll just go out, that's fine. So we went out. That was nice. And then she said, well, would you like to have fish and chips with me and my son the next day in Fremantle? Says Jeannie, if you hadn't guessed. I said, sure. And that was nice too. And then all of a sudden I was thinking, God, this actually can go somewhere. And I wasn't expecting this at all, because I certainly wasn't looking. Lord, I really do want to only go there if you want me to go there. And as clear as I have heard him speak to me, a thought in my head came to me, ask her what the most important thing in her life is. And I thought, brilliant. I couldn't have thought of that. So Jeannie was coming for lunch on the Sunday, and I said to her, at an appropriate time, not when she came in the door, Jeannie, what's the most important thing in your life? She said, oh, I could say that my son is, because she'd been a single mum for 9 years. She'd been on her own for 9 years. But she said, you know, God's the most important thing in my life. Then the fireworks went off. Thought, wow, that was the only answer possible that could make this work. Only answer. So a year later, we were married, and that was 27 years ago. And I'm still thanking God for that wonderful lady today. She's my delight. I delight in her. And it's only through God's grace that that all happened, through prayer. So, again, I just want you to remember that God wants a relationship with you, every single one of you, so much so that Jesus died for you, and that prayer is the lifeblood of that relationship. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, first of all, just want to thank you for your love. Thank you for your kindness, which is even more powerful than life or death itself. Thank you also, Lord, that you give us everything we need in Jesus and your Holy Spirit. Lord, please help us to have hearts and minds and ears all open to you, what you're saying to us, and help us to talk with you, Lord, as much as we're able. Lord, we give ourselves to you afresh this day and say, thank you for dwelling in us. We love you, Lord. Amen.